Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're a fan of sport, it's quite possible that over the past three decades, you've seen Mark Roberts' bare buttocks. With 583 runs under the belt he isn't wearing, Mark is the world's most prolific streaker. He's on holidays in Bali at the moment. He's kindly give us a few minutes of his time. Hi, Mark.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Sean. Absolutely my pleasure, really.
Could you tell us about your very first streak?
Wow. We're going back like 30-odd years now, Sean. I used to live in Hong Kong. I worked as a barman, and the Rugby Sevens was on. And it's a Saturday-Sunday event over the weekend. And I'm rotten drunk in a bar Saturday night, the bar where I worked. And all the guys came in and said, "But the girl who streaked got her boobs out." So, because I'm absolutely pissed at the bar, I said, "Hey, anyone can streak." So the owner said to me, "All right, big mouth, you streak tomorrow." So I went, "Okay, yeah, no problem." But I didn't realise that one comment would change my life. Literally. Wow. I had to follow through with my day.
Mm.
Yeah, so I got dragged out of my apartment a few hours later. I was still totally drunk from the night before. Went to the Rugby Sevens, took in the stadium, had a few beers, jumped onto the field while the All Blacks played South Africa. And it was all about, okay, I've paid the bet, you know, I've shown myself. But as I turned around, there was the ball. So I picked the ball up from the whole end of the field and scored a try against the All Blacks.
Okay, that's a hell of an achievement. And the reaction from the crowd?
Right between the posts, I put the ball down and I just turned around. I'm still pissed from the night before. The whole stadium, 65,000 people, all rose together, screaming and going absolutely crazy, man. And I actually felt the energy from the crowd.
Yeah.
It was absolutely nuts. And so I've run back to my seat. A policeman's come. Everyone's throwing beer at my head. The girls are coming, hugging and kissing me. A policeman's come and he's thrown me out the stadium while the crowd are chanting, "Leave him alone. Leave him alone." But as I'm going out the tunnel, someone shook my hand and he put something in my hand. The policeman threw me out of turnstile. I've looked at it. It was a free pass. So I've come back in the next turnstile up, went back in and jumped on and did it again.
Oh, wow. And did the police drag you out again?
Yes, of course. But this time, when the police got hold of me, he said, "Listen, we told you. We're going to arrest you if you do this again." I said, "Well, listen, do what you have to do." But I'm in that massive adrenaline buzz that was going on from what I've already done, I don't know, half an hour previous or whatever. And as he took me out, the sergeant said, "Right, let him go. Nobody's ever streaked twice, the same event, on the same day ever." And they let me go.
Okay. So was there a gap then between that first one and then after you'd moved back to Liverpool and you started doing regularly?
Well, no, I did the first two on that same day. And then, so my third one was 2 days later at a Chinese football match.
Oh.
And the stadium was called Mong Kok. So I had to do it. I had to do it, man. But here's the difference. When a lot of people ask me, "What's your favourite streak? What's the one that means the most?" I've got to say this one is pretty much it. Because I've gone, it's a Chinese football match, their equivalent of the FA Cup semi-final. I've gone in with my friend, expecting the same atmosphere from the Rugby Sevens. It was a carnival. It was a party. I've walked with my friend. There's 25,000 Chinese people. The only sound you could hear was the ball being kicked on the pitch. It was like, I went, wow. It was such a contrast. I said to my friend Jimmy, I said, "I don't like this." He said, well, don't do it. I said, "No, I've come here. I've come with the intention." So I've ran on to the field, lay down in the penalty spot, took my clothes off while I'm lying on my back, stood up naked. Honestly, Sean, there was tumbleweed. You could have heard a pin drop. The whole stadium was silent, man. From 2 days previous, it was like nuts. So I've just gone, "What's going on here?" So I've ran the whole length of the field, threw myself in the opposite goal, stood up, and I'm surrounded by photographers, so I'm just doing silly poses and what have you. But I'm looking around. The only noise you can hear is the clicking from the cameras. It's all Chinese police, and they're just standing thinking, what the hell's going on? The crowd are going, what the hell's going on? So I thought, this is not going down too well. So start running again, do another length of the field. So as I'm running, that's when the police started to charge me. They've come at me from every angle, and I was fitter then because we were talking about 30 years ago. They tried to rugby tackle me. I dodged one, I dodged another. And that's when the crowd started to, the noise, the crescendo slowly built up. Because I'm taking a piss out the Chinese authority. And in China, they're so suppressed by their own government. It's pathetic. Mm-hmm. You know, anyway, but that's political stuff. But because I was doing this and the police are chasing me and I'm literally taking the piss out the Chinese police, I threw myself on the goal where the first started. I stood up and the Chinese people said, you crazy, you have big penis. I said, no, I'm just like you, man, don't worry. Look. So next thing, they marched me off in a court. They made a cordon around me and literally marching like an army. But from the minute I walked in, that where you can hear a pin drop, it was like a cartoon now, Sean. It changed everything. As I'm getting marched off the field, the face on every single Chinese person in that stadium was animated, screaming, cheering. Ah. So for me, just for that reason, that's got to be, it beats the Super Bowl, you know, to that point. It created that much difference to the crowd.
Yeah.
It was cool, man.
But I do want to talk about the Super Bowl because that was a huge one to do and you were a year planning that.
Yeah, it took a year because I went to the one before in San Diego, but I wasn't prepared. So I've organised a ticket off a tout in New York. It's charging me $500. I've flown to San Diego. He said, now it's $5,000. I said, what are you talking about, man? I've come all the way from Liverpool. I said, I haven't got $5,000. He said, listen, it's like goldust, man. So I ended up going to the stadium, trying to get a ticket outside. Then he got arrested for coming off the tram outside the stadium because I'm an argument officer trying to explain my point. My friend is outside with a ticket. I was talking shit, basically. Get on back on the tram. So I was literally from Liverpool to the stadium, had to go all the way back to where we started. And I thought, this is not going to happen. Then, I don't know, maybe a couple of months later, I'd done a couple more streaks back in the UK. I did Wimbledon men's final and whatever. That was all made news in the States. And these guys came to me and said, listen, we've seen what you've been doing. We've got tickets for the biggest thing in America. We'll give you two tickets, you go and do it. I said, what is it? He said, it's the Oscars. I went, no, that's not the biggest thing in the States, man. It's the Super Bowl. And the guy, he said, what do you mean the Super Bowl? You can't do the Super Bowl. I said, why not? He said, security's too tight. It's never been done. It can't be done. I said, you get me a ticket and I'll prove you wrong. So that's where the year of planning all started. It went, it was the best. They got me the best seats in the house on the 50-yard line where you do the kickoff on the ball, like, you know, when they start. But I thought, how am I going to get from my seat to the middle of the field in Super Bowl? I thought, I need to go on as a referee. So I wrote to the NFL and told them, I'm starting an American football team here in the UK, in Liverpool. I can't get any referees' uniforms. Sean, they sent me two. He sent me two referees' uniforms, man. I thought, you stupid American people.
The thing is, though,
when
you're on the 50-yard line, though, and you're going, now's my chance, and you're taking off your clothes, and this is after 9/11, did it go through your head somebody might, like, shoot at me?
Yeah, well, see, it's not long after 9/11. So I've got the referee's uniform. I've got it taken apart and put all back together again with Velcro. The top sewn into the bottom, but all together with Velcro. I've put the suit on in my home. It comes off in a whole second and it looks so. It's a genuine referee's uniform. And when I go quick. So I'm a referee. Do you know what I mean? So I've got to the stadium and I've, before I left the UK, I was so scared, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm afraid. I've done so many all over the world, but I'm always afraid. And you've got to overcome this fear each time. Every time I go, it's overcoming a certain amount of fear and this, that, and the other. But Super Bowl was the biggest I've ever faced in my life.
Yeah.
And before it was the UK.
Yeah, and people will remember that Super Bowl because that was the Janet Jackson nipple Super Bowl, which kind of her nipple was bigger news than your penis, unfortunately, at the
her
time.
Her nipple was bigger than my penis.
Yes. We have to leave it there, Mark. Thank you so much for talking to us today. That was Mark Roberts there, the world's most prolific streaker. Mark, thank you very, very much.
I love you, man.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.